Welcome back, everyone. It's episode 106 of the all-new, all-different Murphy's Law. This is Charles Murphy, here as always with Charles Villanueva. We're back after a couple weeks off. We're here to run through some of the news of the week and give our take on Peacemaker, which debuted its first three episodes this Thursday. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, we'll have to check in with Charles. It's been a while since we talked.
Yeah, I mean, I've been dealing with COVID this past week, as you know, on my way to recovering. Tomorrow would be my 10th day since symptoms surfaced, and symptoms haven't been that crazy. The worst it's been is that I had like a 39 degrees Celsius fever, which was pretty bad still, but not as severe. And so now I'm just dealing with some leftover cough. Who knows when the cough will end, but I'm hoping to be able to get out as soon as the week begins. How about you?
Well, I think before we move on, it's important for you to know that Joe Rogan thinks that you're a pussy. That you should be out doing stuff right now.
Yeah, he probably thinks I'm a pussy regardless.
If I have COVID, he called you out by name on his podcast.
That's so wild.
I'm good. It is cold here. I told you, what did I tell you it was this morning in Celsius? 18 below, 16 below?
Yeah, 18 below.
Yeah, it's ridiculously cold here. when I look outside, I see the same conditions as Luke and Han and Chewbacca were dealing with on Hoth, and it makes me very upset, but
yeah,
it is what it is. I'm inside. So other than that, yeah, we're ready to get into some of this news and get back into the swing of things.
We want to start
before we take another 3-week break.
You want to start with the Tisha Wright getting vaccinated? Biggest news of the decade?
Yeah, I don't care if she's vaccinated or not. Like, I'm glad that they're back to getting filming going on Black Panther. What, starts next week, right?
Yeah, finally.
And so yeah, I'm glad that's going to be done, and everyone can hopefully stop asking us questions about if it's going to be delayed, since they actually addressed that in the story.
I mean, there are some big rumors surrounding the project at this point. There's a Doom rumor going on, a Namor rumor going on about Namor possibly getting his own spinoff after this. What do you think about the Doom stuff?
I'll be thrilled if Doom is in it, because you'll remember, like, back from November 2019, I heard that Doom was supposed to be in it. Right. But we know that since then a lot changed. Like, first and foremost, Chadwick passing away. So I would be absolutely thrilled if they still found a way to keep him in there. It seems like his role is rumored to be pretty minor at this point, whereas when I had heard about it, he was supposed to be a much bigger role. But I would still be thrilled to see him in there. The only downside of this is that I spent a couple hours yesterday scrolling through Twitter and having people's horrible fan casts shared with me as like who they'd love to see, which 60 or 70 year old actor they want to see play Doom.
Oh my God, who did you see?
It was a lot of Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh my God.
Who is way too old to be playing Doom. Let's see what else we got. Cillian Murphy gets put up there a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
The guy from Game of Thrones, that's a horrible fucking actor.
That
played Jaime.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Awesome. I don't remember what his name is. Someone said Adam Sandler, which I really appreciated. let's see, what was this guy's name? Coleman Domingo was up there. And Jamie Dornan. Yeah, about three or four people decided that Jamie Dornan should play Dr. Doom. People are just absolutely fucking out of control.
I like Cillian Murphy out of everyone there.
Yeah, I mean, other than he's Irish, but you know,
right?
Let's get realistic with who this is going to be, and please stop wanting 80-year-old fucking people to play Dr. Doom.
Who's 80 years? None of those people are 80 years old.
No, I just keep exaggerating. What's the how old is the other one that people always like to put in there in Ooh. As that he should play him is Viggo. Viggo Mortensen, who is Viggo's fucking like, 63 years old.
Yeah, he's 60. It's cutting a bit close to, you know, to his to his 70s, but yeah, I think as far as the Doom stuff goes, I'm excited to see how that's going to shape up. But like, I'll be even surprised if Doom himself actually shows up and not just Latveria. Yeah. I feel like Latveria is still the most plausible thing to come out of that Doom related. I'd be super fucking surprised if they actually give us Doom, like even as a post-credit scene. I mean, in general, a lot of the post-credit scenes you've been getting have been really like, who gives a shit? Even in the Disney Plus shows, it feels like the magic of post-credit scenes have sort of gone away. The Eternals one was like, who also gives a shit? I don't know why you couldn't have Mahershala Ali show up actually there, come out of the shadows. It's so crazy that we're settling on a voice, so maybe they give us Cillian Murphy's voice, the post-credit scene in Black Panther 2 or some
the
shit.
The worst fucking thing about that Blade post-credit scene was that nobody knew who it was, right? And that people thought it was fucking Nick Fury and just ridiculous. And nobody, after it was clear as day that it was Mahershala, people were still arguing that it was Nick Fury.
It's absurd. It's probably one of the worst post-credit scenes ever in the MCU. So,
and then as far as the Namor stuff goes, I think it's not surprising, right? Like, they didn't bring him in to kill him off in the first movie. Yeah. He's one of their oldest and most interesting characters. So yeah, I think that, you know, them spinning off doing something with Atlantis and Namor is fine. I don't know how the TV rights work. It's not like it has to be a movie, right? Like, they can do whatever they want. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not too interested in the details of it, but yeah, I think it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's not like it's hard for me to believe that Disney's gonna put, you know, an underwater show on Disney Plus completely. Yeah. I feel like Namor's gonna exist somewhere in some spinoff at some point, maybe as a bad guy, maybe as a good guy, but it's hard for me to imagine him getting his own shit, even though he is a super famous character. It also depends on whether fans are receptive of his portrayal in the movie. It kind of seems like, at least from what you've been telling me, it kind of seems like he's gonna be like a straight up bad guy. And even less of a like the charming asshole he is in the comics. So it's exciting. I'm very excited to see how T'Nok pans out as Namor in the first place. So,
yeah.
There is a Moon Knight release rumor from our friends at That Hashtag Show.
Yeah, we heard yesterday that March 30th was a potential Moon Knight date. We reached out to our Disney rep and he said, rumor for now, the dates are still undecided, right? Yeah. So, I have previously heard March, but I never did hear a date. Late March seems, I guess, I don't know what they're going to do in February, right? Like, we have Book of Boba Fett going. I don't know what's coming up for them in February. So I would think that's kind of a long wait, but we've seen that before. So yeah, sure. And the Super Bowl trailer rumor, I mean, I don't know. We saw like, a while for it seems like forever ago, we saw the trailer with WandaVision, Falcon, and the little clip from Loki in it. So sure, I don't know. I mean, I obviously have no idea about trailer shit, and I don't know when it's coming. So
I mean, it makes sense, right? As far as the Super Bowl stuff goes, if there is something planned for March, April, May, you know, it makes sense for Marvel to actually prepare something for Super Bowl weekend, which is what. A few weeks, 2 weeks.
It's like February. What was it? February 13th, I think, is what we said.
So, yeah, a little over a month. So that's cool. As far as the rumor goes, the release date, it's always ballsy for me. It's always ballsy to see a site drop a fucking release date. Be it a trailer date or be it an actual premiere date. It's so insane for me to see sites actually do this. So. Good for them. Very risky. It could change at literally any point. It could be fucking April 1st for all we know.
Yeah.
But yeah, more power to those guys. March 30th. Certainly, we don't have much to sort of watch. Well, I guess you have Peacemaker and Boba Fett at least for the next, you know, couple of weeks or so.
Yeah.
But we're going to need something by March at least.
Yeah, I mean, Peacemaker, Boba Fett ends February 9th. Peacemaker ends February 17th, and then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You'd have like a 6-week gap with nothing. Obviously, the Batman comes out, but that's just like, you know, you go to the movies and come back. You don't have a weekly show that we know about for Disney Plus, so, or HBO Max.
We're going to have to get on with that Moon Knight stuff pretty soon, but I guess Moon Knight adjacent is Werewolf by Night. I think the special just cast the new actress. What's her name again? I forgot. The trade is speculating could be maybe Vampire by Night. So that's pretty cool. Oh, Laura Donnelly from The Nevers, the HBO's The Nevers. So good for her. Got a cool Marvel gig. She might be a vampire in a werewolf show. Vampires and werewolves. So that's cool.
Yep, and that's a person I've never heard of before, so yeah. I have no idea what to expect. But there, about a month ago or so, I did hear that it was possible that Vampire by Night showed up in Werewolf by Night. Mm-hmm. And so they having a trade say, hey, maybe this is a possible character too, is interesting. I guess we'll see. It makes you start to wonder what the – we talked about this on the Q&A. It makes you start to wonder what the format of the holiday special is. Is it going to be like a movie sort of thing? And the question that was asked us on the Q&A is like, is it maybe a musical? Yeah. And which would be really something kind of cool, like a Monster Mash sort of party with all the spooky people from the MCU hanging out together at who knows where they are having a Halloween party.
I mean, it sounds good. I like the idea is pretty fun. I mentioned also in the Q&A, I'm not a big musical guy, but, you know, if Marvel did a musical, I think anyone with a remote interest for Marvel stuff would check that out, let alone mm-hmm. fucking horror thing. So that's pretty dope.
Yeah, and you said too, like the idea of it being a straight up horror thing yeah. is hard to sell on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I feel like there is some sort of twist to this. Kevin Feige said, or a while back, like he'd never probably want to do like a straight up horror thing, like mm-hmm. with Doctor Strange. So it's probably going to be a hybrid horror or something that who knows what's going to turn out. So that's cool. I think that's it for the Marvel stuff. There's not much all week. There is some pretty cool Batgirl stuff. The costume. Have you seen the costume?
Yeah, the costume looks great. Leslie Grace's, they came out last night. It's straight up ripped right off the pages of one of the more recent runs. I think it's the Burnside costume is what you would call it. Mm-hmm. And we've seen all kinds of really cool shit leak out this week from Glasgow while they're filming. Like we've seen Keaton's new suit that he had a Robin. We've seen like a tease of Hugo Strange, Court of Owls, Vicky Vale, like all this really cool stuff and this world building they're doing. And it's so interesting to me to see like where we are with this. Like this is what Keaton's 30 some years later, right? Yeah. So we're 30 plus years from the last time. Well, not necessarily the last time. We're probably right around 30 years from the last time. I don't remember when Batman Returns came out. Maybe it was 92 or something. But
yeah,
you know, you have so many questions about what's happened in this world, and then you get to see her in the costume. She looks great. Costume looks great, and it's exciting. I think this is the kind of fun stuff that they haven't really done in the DCEU so far. It's been a different take, and now this sort of fun world building is cool. And there's a pretty big rumor out there about someone having already been cast as Dick Grayson that'll be joining the cast here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean the Keaton stuff is super exciting. The Vicky Vale stuff too. I mean, I'd be so surprised if we actually get Kim Basinger at some point, or maybe like a Kim Basinger Easter egg on TV while she's like reporting or some shit. I feel like that would be kind of perfect for this, but it's just so crazy to think or even imagine Keaton's Batman having more legs to stand on in the next fucking 10 years or so with the character. It's just so crazy that who would have thought that out of all the Batmans we got, Keaton would actually get the shot to actually, I guess, continue in the DCEU. And mm-hmm. so that's pretty cool. Like you said, the costume's super badass. It's so just fascinating to even think about Keaton's Batman existing in a world where the Court of Owls is there, Hugo Strange is there, fucking Robin is there. Back in the day, you wouldn't even have predicted that. So that is pretty fucking cool. And again, the costume is so dope. You mentioned to me earlier that people are losing their shit over it. I had no idea that people were mad at it because it is a fucking pretty badass costume. It looks exactly like I forgot who designed that costume, but it's so perfect. It's so modern. Leslie Grace looks amazing under the cowl. It's just shaping up to be a very, very exciting movie in general. And I cannot wait to see Brendan Fraser here. People forget that he's in this. Isn't he like Firefly? Yep.
He's Firefly. And I know JJ is really sure that that in addition to seeing Firefly, you're going to see Killer Moth. And I'm just here to tell you that I have no idea who the fuck that is.
have no idea who those people are.
Yeah. So, but yeah, with Brendan Fraser being in it, and you've got you know, continued additions to the cast. Yeah, this is exciting, and I think that, like we talked about before, I don't think people are really mad about the costume. I think there's something else going on.
Oh, I wonder what. But yeah, it's pretty fucking badass. I'm excited. I can't believe I'm excited for a Batgirl.
Yeah.
It's top three stuff I'm excited for from DC. I would have never expected to be excited for Batgirl.
Yep, it's so pretty exciting. And do you want, should we talk about the Dick Grayson Nightwing rumor, or should we wait until that?
Yeah, I guess we can talk about it. I mean, according to your boy Jeff Snyder, it's a prominent
MTV actor is what he said, right?
I'm from MTV. I wonder who could it be.
And it's funny because it was, you know, earlier, just maybe even a day before that came out, the rumors were pushing pretty hard that Dylan O'Brien was going to join the cast. And so now the rumor is that he'll be joining the cast and announced as Dick Grayson, as Nightwing, before too long. And so what a cool way to finally get the character in here. And he fits perfectly in a Batgirl movie. I'm excited to see him show up here in something that isn't Titans, because that's a fucking terrible show. And I'm excited to see what goes on. I'm a little bummed that we might not find out the whole story here. I've always been concerned about them rushing straight to Nightwing, because I thought you could make a really great character out of Dick Grayson if you show him, if you develop that relationship between him and Bruce, and then you show why he left. I think that's such an important part of the character. You know, and I would rather it not be done through flashbacks, but you know, Dylan O'Brien is a pretty solid fit age wise and looks wise. He'll have to get his ass tightened up, I'm sure. But other than that, he's a pretty good looking kid, and he's probably age wise fits right in here with the story that they want to tell.
Yeah, he's kind of perfect. His sort of level of fame is perfect for the character. I mean, he was at one point, if I'm not mistaken, in the running to play the MCU Peter Parker. It was down to him, Tom, and Asa Butterfield, you know, fucking 6 years ago, 2015.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's so crazy to imagine an MCU with where Dylan O'Brien is Spider-Man, but I'm glad that he's getting another shot at playing a major superhero, fucking Robin out of all characters. And like I said, he's in a good age at a good spot in his life where wasn't he the lead of like so many young adult movies?
Yeah.
Like Divergent, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he was the Maze Runner dude.
Maze Runner, yeah. So, you know, it's just perfect for him, man. I can't wait to see what that costume looks like.
It's gonna be as bad as the Titans. Much better than the one on fucking Titans.
It can't be as bad as that. I feel like they've got too much at their disposal for it to look bad. Or shit, I'd love to see a fucking, an actual badass Robin costume. I hope we get like a flashback of him in Robin costume.
Well, I think what you can do is give him, I guess I haven't watched any of Titans recently, but they were using the blue and black one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can easily just use his red and black one, which I feel like is what they did in the New 52 anyway. And since they're pulling Leslie's costume from New 52, that would be a real easy way to separate it.
You want to talk about Peacemaker now?
Yeah, I didn't even know you watched it.
I watched it, yeah. Of course I fucking watched it.
Go ahead.
I would not miss the world for John Cena dancing in his underwear.
I continue to think, like, I can't imagine anybody else doing this role other than John Cena. Because he's just so comfortable being this asshole and being the butt of the jokes. We've talked about it a few times. This is the perfect role for the guy. And even I find myself in these episodes, seeing him make me feel a little empathy, right? Like you kind of actually, you're learning more about him. He's doing a good job, making you feel for him. Like this is a role that he's perfect for, and I hope for his sake that they make a season two of Peacemaker, or they keep putting him in this role, because it's really going to be like a career defining role for the guy.
A big standout for me, or probably the big standout for me. I mean, we know how funny John Cena is. We know how funny he is as Christopher Smith. Like, the thing that really stood out to me was the fucking supporting cast. Every single one of them. Emilia Harcourt, the one playing fucking the High Evolutionary, apparently. He's so
Jack
great.
Woody.
Amanda Waller's kid is so good. Fucking
Yeah.
Vigilante is so hilarious. Is Vigilante the guy in the diner staring at him?
Yes. Yeah.
The one's like dancing in the while taking out the trash.
He's doing his butt dance.
That is, man, he what a fucking what is that, what a great character. It's so fun. The show in general, man. I feel like there are some moments in the show where it does kind of feel like it has some padding, like his escape in the out of the apartment. I thought it might have been like 15 minutes too long. But
Yeah.
it's so entertaining and it's so fun that every beat just sort of mattered at the end of the day. I feel like with any other Marvel show, they would probably just trim that down. It probably would be like a 30-minute episode. But here you're getting sort of the full sort of full picture. And I imagine that's part of Gunn's, I guess, approach to the show where, it's just him doing whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, it has all the the classic gun cues, the music, the humor, but just in general, it's just a delight to watch. Like
Yeah.
I'm not the only thing I'm not fully sold on is when they frame the dad. I'm not quite sure why the team goes through so many lengths to even send the dad to jail. I felt like Economo sort of linking the car to him was pretty like that's pretty fucking dumb, and then they
Yeah.
send him to jail. I'm not quite sure what the if that's just supposed to be part of the gag or whatnot, but I it's fucking Robert Patrick, so I am curious what Robert Patrick is going to do as a
Yeah.
super racist dude. So I mean it's such a delightful show all in all for me.
Yeah, I feel like that was just the device to get him in prison so you could find out that he's a white supremacist leader, right? Like that he's
Right.
not just a regular old racist, but that he's like a legit leader of some sort of like neo-Nazi white supremacist
Yeah.
KKK club of people in prison. And that was the best they could come up with to get him in there, I guess. But and even Patrick's great, like that scene where he just starts laughing, and then
So good
nearly
here,
kills himself dying.
yeah. So funny,
He
yeah.
almost kills himself laughing is pretty great. But you're right, the supporting cast is great. And I actually tweeted that at James yesterday that it's not surprising that the interpersonal reactions of this show are the strengths of the show because that's what he
Yeah.
does.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Jennifer Holland is great as Harcourt. I didn't, that's James's girlfriend. I haven't really ever seen her
Yeah.
act in anything. I've not ever seen her do anything, and she's great in it. You said, I think her name's Danielle Brooks, plays Waller's daughter. She's fucking hilarious. These guys are great. And even like the judo master shit
The
was just
true
like
are so
2 foot
funny.
tall. He just kicks the shit out of everybody. It's a fun fight scene. Like the fighting is great, but it's also hilarious because he is like, I mean, that guy can't be. I'm gonna have to look up how tall he actually is. He is so
He's
small.
pretty small, yeah. He's pretty small.
He's like, he can't be 5 foot tall.
He's probably 5 foot. That's probably his tallest.
It says he's 5 foot 6, so they're obviously doing some
Oh.
stuff with it to make him look even smaller, right? Because John Cena is not a tall dude.
Yeah. But I mean, that fight is so great. I like how even during episode three, where Peacemaker can't pull the trigger, and then Vigilante is like, let me do it.
Yeah.
He's just humming.
He's as he blows, he shoots the two little kids. Obviously, they're not little kids, they're monsters, but yeah,
Right.
still.
It's moments like that are what make the show really good. I'm just kind of disappointed how late Vigilante comes into the picture. And I just kind of like how Vigilante just keeps showing up.
Yeah.
Behind the dumpster, behind the bushes, he's just around. And I kind of like that whole.
The dick gag in the one episode where Cena won't look at him, and he won't look at him for like the longest time because he doesn't
Yeah.
believe that he's not doing it.
It's so funny. Like the gags like that, I feel like in a movie they wouldn't be played out as long as that. Like say for the when When Waller's wife sends her the picture of like her coochie. It's played out for laughs for a really long time, like a fucking 5-minute bit. So it's just so nice to see James Gunn just go crazy here.
Yeah, they can do some really adult stuff with it, right? So
I mean, the opening dance number alone. It's just so crazy how that is the opening credits of the show. It's them dancing.
Yeah.
I wonder what the inspiration for that. He even fucking got Robert Patrick to dance like an idiot. And it's almost hard for me to imagine Robert Patrick doing that or having fun with that. But I'm pretty sure he had fun with it because it's such a great scene.
Yeah, I love that opening number, and I watched it, and then I made my wife watch it. She didn't want to watch the show, but I was like, all right, you're going to at least watch this, okay?
Did she like it?
Yeah, she's like, that's ridiculous.
It's so fucking crazy. And like in the first episode, like I'm just kind of surprised how like we actually got a sex scene here. It is so weird to see, you know, this being in the DCU and just John Cena boning someone. And then the next episode, although we don't see it, they have a threesome with Vigilante.
And the guy and the wife that he tied up in the chair.
It's the wife he ties up in the chair. It's just so raunchy.
Yeah.
And the length the show goes to is so out there. And like, I'm actually excited to see what the butterflies are and what they mean for the show. I know we have screeners for the show, but I'm kind of like, you know what? I want to watch this weekly. I kind of want to see this pan out on a weekly basis.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned the butterflies. I think what's really interesting, at least from my perspective, is so far through three episodes, I don't even care what the overarching plot is or who the bad guys are. I don't give a shit. Right. Like, I'm just enjoying the show so much and enjoying the actors in it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not in a big hurry to find out anything. I would just continue watching what I watched.
Like, this show could be a case of the week thing. I would be very happy. Like, just to see what adventures they have up next. It's just so fun and so dumb. I think, is that it? Are we good?
Yeah, but you know what? I want to go back and touch on something with the Batgirl costume. Because as we were talking, I just got a notification on Twitter and I checked it out. And this is a great point. This is yet another time where DC is giving us first looks at the costume before we get some shitty grainy set photo. Right. They've done that a couple times here. And so like, we didn't get to see Leslie Grace running around in a shitty set photo that we could barely make out. They made like a nice official reveal. And I don't know how many times you and I have talked about this. Like, why don't studios do this more often? And why do they why don't they take control of the news? Right. So if you know that you're going to have Leslie Grace out in public, let's say all this weekend or next week in the Batgirl costume, it's a great move to release it ahead of time and in an official look and let people get it looked at in the lighting that you want in whatever, you know, then to see, oh yeah, look at that. And then just have that discussion go to shit about the way it looks because of the set photo thing. Like some paparazzi person shot it from a distance and we have to, like what happened with Taskmaster in fucking Black Widow. And then everyone's like, oh, it's Darkhawk. Right. Like that. It's just so, I like that DC did this. I like that they're taking control of it. And I wish that was the norm.
Yeah. I mean, for the Moon Knight stuff, I feel like, I mean, we don't have an actual set photo of Moon Knight apart from the leak, but I would have loved to see like an official photo of Moon Knight before the shit leaked at least, or in time for the Disney Plus Day presentation.
It's just another an opportunity to generate buzz and discussion about your project.
Oh yeah. Right? I don't know why they don't do this. It's so crazy.
It's so nuts. So I just wanted to touch on that, but I think that covers it.
Yeah. All right.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us this week. We're happy to be back with you as we get into the new year and hopefully get a little more constant stream of news. We'll be around a little bit more often in the chat. So thanks. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.